We're going to look tonight and focus on the subject, of course, prayer. And that's where we will be for three consecutive Sunday evenings. And tonight our text is John chapter 15, verse 7. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Father, we come to you and we begin this study tonight that we may have a stronger, a more personal, a better prayer life. Father, I pray that tonight and from this point forward, we will be a church that is a prayer powerhouse. That we settle for nothing less than a strong and active prayer life and communion time and fellowship with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and I want to start by question tonight, right? And that question is your prayer life all that it should be? Is your prayer life all you want it to be? And I want you to hold on to those two questions, okay? Because if we're going to fix our prayer life, and you know, I understand. Nobody's going to say, yes, my prayer life's everything I want it to be, and yes, my prayer life's everything it should be. Nobody's going to say that. I understand that, okay? But I want us to take a moment of sincere and serious honesty as we address that question, or those questions. And don't answer out loud. But answer to yourself, is your prayer life all that it should be? I mean, really? And is your prayer life all that you want it to be? And if you're like me, you're going to answer no to both of those questions. But here's the thing. If we're going to fix our prayer life, we've got to be honest. Okay? We've got to be absolutely 100% honest because God knows. Right? He knows what your prayer life is, and you know what your prayer life is. And so, let's start with just being honest as we address those two questions. Am I all I want to be in prayer? Is my prayer life what it should be? And then let's look. If it's not, how do we get there? I think that we should be able to say, if we're doing it right, we should be able to say, yes, my prayer life's everything I want it to be. Yes, my prayer life's everything it should be. So how do we get it there? First thing we consider is the ifs of a prayer life. IF, ifs. That first word in the text that we just read, if, is perhaps the most important word in the whole thing. Right? And the reason it's so important is because if you do not take that little bitty word into account, the rest of everything that Jesus says here will be of no value to you. But if you take that word into account, it can be unlimited value, right? So as we look at this, first point I want you to get is to consider the if, and everything that Jesus says here, it's Jesus that's speaking, therefore it's absolutely true. Amen? Okay? Everything here is absolutely true. Therefore, I absolutely 100% believe it. Amen? Okay? You don't sound very convincing. Okay? Now, you approach your prayer life and you ask yourself if. That first tells us that it's conditional. Okay? If you do certain things, your prayer life's going to be successful. If you do not, it's not going to be worth anything. And so let's fill in the blank. So let's answer the if. If you abide. That word abide, of course, what does it mean? It means to dwell. It means to continue and persist in. It means to build your life on. So what are you going to build your life on? Jesus said, if you abide in me, if your prayer life is not successful, you start with, are you abiding in Jesus? Okay? And I'm being very intentional in my words. Okay? If you can't say my prayer life is all that it should be, all I want it to be, then likely as not, and I have no other answer for you if you say, no, Doug, that's wrong. If it's not what it should be, then you are not abiding in Jesus Christ. It's a statement of fact. Because Jesus said, if you abide in me. So what does abiding in Jesus look like? Well, it's not that difficult, but it does mean that Jesus has complete access and authority over every aspect of your life. Everything that you are, everything that you do, Jesus is involved. You don't compartmentalize your life and say, well, you know, I come to church on Sunday and I give God Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday and Friday and Saturday are all for me. No. It is everything about you, everything about your life has a Jesus focus. Okay? That's what this means. Nothing is off limits. Not Jesus has you for 2 hours on Sunday morning. Not Jesus has you for 30 minutes of devotion and prayer time every morning. It's that Jesus is involved in every aspect of your life. It is a complete life devotion to Jesus. Bar nothing. Okay? Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Jesus, in the first part of this book of John, in the beginning was the Word, right? So we know Jesus as the Word, right? But that Word is Logos. This Word is Rhema or Rhema. And there's a difference in those two, in that this, when we say the words that Jesus said, is talking about here, it's the things that Jesus said. Okay? The things that Jesus taught. So, the application is this. Is your life patterned after the teachings of Jesus? This is abiding. And it's so closely related, you actually cannot separate the two. Is your life patterned after the teachings of Jesus? Or is Jesus a nice little hobby? You will never have a prayer life if Jesus is a hobby. You'll never have a prayer life if Jesus does not saturate your life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Now, I'm not saying we put on some monk clothes, a big sheet, and walk around like this all the time. No. What I'm talking about is that Jesus is involved in everything that you do. You pattern your life after the things that Jesus said. Well, let's just talk about what Jesus said, okay? Do you love God? You know what Jesus said about loving God? He was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? In Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus answered this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're abiding in Jesus, that means you're loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself. That's abiding in Jesus. It's not just talking a good game. It's not saying, oh yes, I love the Lord. People say that stuff all the time, but they don't do what Jesus says. That's the point of, that's the secret to a prayer life. Do you love your enemies? What else did Jesus say? He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you do that? Think of somebody you hate. Do you pray for them? You say, Brother Doug, I'm not supposed to hate. Okay, I give you that. But you do have enemies. When's the last time you prayed for them? You see, that's patterned after the things that Jesus said. You want answers to prayer life? You want to have a prayer life? Put the things that Jesus says in practice. Go through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Go read that. And it is such a revelation of what our life should look like. Do you forgive? Do you forgive? What Jesus said about forgiveness, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And if you have unforgiven sin, don't think you're going to have a successful prayer life. You know? You see, it's the difference between a religious hobby and being sold out to Jesus. And I've hurt people, and I've even thought at times, you know, why isn't God answering my prayer? Why isn't God answering my prayer? But then when I look at what Jesus said, He says, if you abide in Me, you continue in Me in every aspect of your life, and My words abide in you, you put into practice the things I said. If you do these things, you can ask, and it'll be done. You see, you abide even when it's hard. Look, this is a wonderful chapter, okay? And we don't have time tonight to go through all of it. But when you look in chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He what? He prunes. I love being pruned. Nobody else loves that? No, I'm a big storyteller. I don't love being pruned. But when you're being pruned, do you abide? Is that when you're the strongest, when your prayer life and your relationship with Jesus is the closest? Or do you say, well, if this is what it cost me, I quit? You see, that's what a lot of people do. I was talking, I don't remember who it was. Yeah, I do remember who it was. But you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that the hard times in life are when I learn the most. So in reality, those hard times are a blessing. You know? Now, I don't like the hard times, and I'm not going to stand up here and say, I always face them and say, thank you, Lord, for those hard times. Thank you for pruning me. I don't. But do you abide when those times are hard? When God is doing the pruning? If your prayer life is not strong, you start with abiding. Your relationship with God. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about, okay? But, and if you abide in Me and Jesus, and My words abide in you, you pattern your life after what Jesus said. Here's the most wonderful, the most wonderful part. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Here's the first thing I want you to get. Okay? If you abide in Jesus and His words abide in you, ask. And you have to understand the construction of this sentence. It's not an invitation to ask. It's not. It is stating a fact that if you abide in Jesus and the words of Jesus are abiding in you, you will ask. You will pray. For those who abide, prayer is not something you do. It's something that happens. It's spontaneous. Yeah, and I think that's where we get off track. We think, oh, I've got to pray. No, you don't have to pray. Okay? As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we said, oh, I've covered my prayer time. We're all good. Are you? Did you have communion and fellowship with God? If you didn't, your prayer life wasn't worth anything, right? But if you abide and Jesus' words abide in you, just like stars shine and just like flowers bloom, abiders pray. That's the point of that statement. When he says, ask whatever you wish. Prayer is much of a necessity to the abider as breathing is to the physical body. Do you just find yourself praying? Going down the road, you're driving, you find yourself talking to the Lord? I hope so. It's an indication of abiding. Throughout the day, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you don't have your set prayer times. I'm not, okay? But I'm saying if you're just filling in a blank, it's no good. See, we've got to get out of the mindset, well, I've done my duty, I prayed, so I'm good for the rest of the day. No, that's not what prayer was intended to be. It was never intended to be some kind of command like the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt pray. No. No. You see, we make it legalistic so we can check off those boxes. And we miss the point. The point is relationship. The point is, you know, in a relationship, you don't talk to people because you have to. You talk to people because you want to. Big difference there. Okay? See, I'm married to Beth. I don't talk to her because I have to. I talk to her because I want to. I'm your pastor, but I don't talk to you because I have to. I talk to you because I want to. God is God. I don't talk to Him because I have to. I talk to Him because I want to. That has to be the attitude of prayer. Otherwise, we're filling in 15, 20, or 30 minutes a day and hope I've done my 15 minutes. No. We're missing the point. If it's about relationship, it's about having that desire to speak to God. And that's what, in this context, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, you will, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask. It's a statement of fact. Listen, we don't have to talk to God. It's not our job. It's not our burden to talk to God. And we've got to stop settling for conversations with God like that. Because that's what it's settling. Prayer is a privilege. And can you imagine having the privilege of going before the Creator of the universe? I mean, you know, we become, you know, excited if we meet some star or some big football player or some special, you know, somebody with special talent. Oh, man, he's somebody. No, God is somebody. The awesome thing is he wants a relationship with you and me. He doesn't want you to talk because you have to. I've always admired the statement that the Bible says about Moses when he talked with God. You remember what it says? He talked with God as a man talked to his friend. That has to be the goal of our prayer life. Otherwise, we're just filling in a blank. And friends, you know, we wonder, why don't we see the power of God today? Because our prayer life is suffering. We don't pursue that relationship. We need to check, are we abiding? You see, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish. Is this really a blank check? It is. This is the Word of God. I believe it 100%. Okay? I believe it with all my heart, just exactly what it says, that you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. But here's the catch. Okay? Yes, God always says what He means. Well, then I'm going to pray for $1 million. Whoa, put the brakes on. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive so that you may spend it on your pleasures. When you go to the Lord in prayer asking for a new car, asking for $1 million, you know what you're doing? You're not abiding. You're not abiding. And it's at this point we ask, are my prayers selfish? You know? The idea here is that if you're abiding in Jesus, your prayers will be in union with Jesus. And you will not ask for anything that's not the will of God. You won't do it. That's why Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you what? The desires of your heart. Yes. This is true. You can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. As long as you're abiding. But just as soon as you get selfish and say, Lord, I want all this junk, you're no longer abiding. Now, there are times. There are times when we don't know exactly what to ask for. Have you ever experienced that? Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I don't have the big picture. I don't know how to pray about this, Lord. How do you pray about those things? And have the knowledge of, we'll ask whatever we wish. Here's the good part to that. Okay? Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Why don't I know how to pray? Why don't I know what to ask for? Because of my personal weakness. The Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you don't know what to pray, when you don't know how to pray, praise God, we have an intercessor of the Holy Spirit that says, I'll pray for you. I know what to pray. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? But it always goes back to abiding. Are you abiding? If you don't think about, after we leave tonight, if you don't think about God until Wednesday night, you're not abiding. You know? Here's where we all want to get. And here's the goal of this study. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is the awesome part. It does not say God will give you the power to do it, does it? It says it will be done for you. Why would you ask God to do something you could do anyway, right? But we're praying for things that we can't do. And when we're abiding and the words of Jesus are abiding in us, we'll ask what we wish and it will be done for us. It doesn't say it might be done. Wouldn't you like to be able to pray and get up off your knees knowing it's going to be? That's what this is talking about. You want to have that confidence, that faith. And if you don't have that confidence and that faith, there's an abiding problem. It all starts with abiding. Now, this isn't real complicated, is it? But it requires honesty. It requires honesty. Lord, truly am I abiding? Can I pray with confidence of knowing that what I pray for is going to happen? If you can't, again, time to be honest. Are you abiding? If we're going to be a church, and I see so much potential for victory. God is working all around us. Folks, we are this close to seeing God do things we have never seen before. We are this close to seeing a response to the Word of God that we have never seen before. How are we going to get there? It's only going to happen when God's people are prayer warriors. And we will only become prayer warriors when we abide in Jesus Christ. Right? It can't be a hobby. It can't be a 2 or 3 day a week thing. It's got to be an all in. I'm sold out, completely committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if we'll do that, I believe that there's no limit to what we're going to see at victory. If we don't do that, we can remain in the legalistic mentality. I filled in my blank and I prayed today, and so I'm good till tomorrow and I got to pray again. We'll never see the power of God like that. How's your prayer life? Back to question number one. How's your prayer life? May be a good time tonight for rededication. Amen? You see, I had to kind of make a personal. No, I didn't kind of make a personal. I did make a personal rededication of me as I was preparing for this. Because as I was looking at my whole life, I was thinking, you know, there are spots that I really am not abiding. And I want to be completely sold out to Jesus. I want to be able to pray with confidence of knowing it's going to happen. Don't you want to? Amen. Well then, as did every head be bowed, every eye closed. Right now it's time to do business with God. If you cannot say, my prayer life's everything it's supposed to be, take care of that right now. Lord, I want to recommit my life to you. I know that you're my Savior. But Lord, there's parts of my life I've not given you. It's parts of my life that I've kept to myself. And Lord, I know that doesn't work. So now, Lord, I give you me. I present myself a living sacrifice. Lord, you do your will be done. You do what needs to be done. Lord, use me for your glory. I'm yours. Our Father in heaven, sometimes we forget that this life is not why we're here. Chasing the things of this world is not what we're about. And sometimes we hold dear to those things that are worldly that Lord, we just have not given to you. And so, Lord, tonight we come to you, and Lord, I want you to have all of me. And Lord, I want you to use me. Lord, I pray that you use me to preach the gospel And that, Lord, through that preaching, disciples will be made. Father, I pray that I want to give you all of me. Don't want to withhold any part. And I pray that we as a church would be united in this prayer. That we all can say, I'm yours, Lord. Glorify your name. This church is yours, Lord. Glorify your name. That, Lord, we will all be so sold out to you that nothing can discourage us, and that we will not give in to any temptation that would take us away from you. Father, I pray your will be done in Jesus' name.